Welcome to Gardens for Everybody. Today, Elizabeth and I want to talk to you about how to save seeds for next year. Your favorite plant, you can save some and hopefully get what you want. The seeds will reproduce the plant that you have grown this year. I also want to let everybody know a couple of things that are important. Ottawa is at a transition zone between zone 4 and zone 5. So our plant choices by the Canadian climate zones is a 5A, 4B. And from the USDA climate zone map, we are in zone 4. Every country has a slightly different zone map. The other thing I really want to tell everybody is we have listeners as far away as South Africa, Australia, Europe and England, and the East Coast of the United States, all the way down to Florida. So just wanted to let them know what climate zone we're actually in.
Yes, that's very different climate zones that you're talking about there. And I wish we had some of those climate zones, but we do not. We have to deal with what we've got right now. Yeah, so seed saving is a fun thing to do. It's, you know, kind of foolish weather, and a lot of plants are, you know, making their seeds because they want to reproduce for the next year. They want to grow a new plant for next year. And so the seeds are going to be partially eaten, perhaps. They're going to fall to the ground and a new plant will start, hopefully. But we may want to choose to save some of those seeds because we want to grow them in a particular place, or also just because we want a better chance at getting the seeds to germinate. So if we scatter seeds, we've got a 10% germination rate. But if we collect them and start them in controlled conditions, we can achieve maybe a 60 to 80% germination rate.
That's so true.
Yeah. So an important point is, if you know you really want these seeds to grow, collecting them, saving them, and starting them in the right conditions, and then planting them where you want them once they've established as a plant, is going to be a bit more successful than scattering seeds. So on that note, I recently did some seed saving from the pollinator gardens at the Food Cupboard Garden.
The pollinator garden now has blooming flowers and then plants with little bags on their heads.
Yes, that's me. So that's how I'm trying to collect some of the seeds. It's quite easy. I just use those little kind of gauzy bags, produce bags, that kind of thing. With very fine mesh. You don't want a big mesh, you want a fine mesh in general. It's good because they're not plastic, so they're not going to have water and moisture collecting inside, which could ruin the seeds. So it needs to be something that's got air circulation, but is fine enough to hold the seeds. So I put those on some flowers that were, you know, going to produce seeds soon. If I remember and pay attention, I will go back and collect the seeds and then also label the seeds I collect and keep them in separate envelopes, or paper bags are a good one, so that I know which seed belongs to which plant.
Do you refrigerate them?
So you want to keep them cool and dry and dark while you're storing them. You could put them in a freezer, for instance, would be one way of doing that. If you kept them in a very dry box with maybe some of that silica that dries them out, you could keep them in the fridge. If we're talking about a lot of native seeds, we're probably not going to keep them that long, because many native seeds, perhaps most in our area, need a period of cold, moist stratification to break down the seed coat and in order to germinate. And so that happens naturally when seeds fall to the ground, because in the Ottawa area, we hopefully would get snow falling, and then it would melt, and then it would freeze, and it would thaw, and it would melt. And this would just happen naturally. That would allow seeds to germinate. So many of our native seeds need that kind of treatment in order to germinate. What a lot of people do, and I follow guidelines from the wonderful Ottawa Wildflower Seed Library, they collect seeds. They have information on their website about how to collect seeds for each type of native plant. And they also have this information about what that particular plant needs. Mostly it's fairly simple. Some are a bit more complex. So I'm sticking with the simple ones that do not need a lot of different temperature changes in order to work. But the simpler ones, you can just collect when it's starting to get cold. You can put them into pots it's more successful collecting them if you put them into a sort of a larger pot of one type altogether. And then you're going to use some potting mix or some soil mix. You're going to dampen it. You're going to put the seeds in to the correct depth, usually on the surface if it's a fine seed, poked in if it's a bigger seed. And then you're just going to cover that with some kind of protection to stop animals digging into that pot. So like a screen mesh is good. You don't want anything like chicken wire that they're going to be able to dig through. You really need a fine mesh on top or some other covering that's going to protect those seeds. And then you're just going to leave them outside in a place that's exposed to snow.
At the ground level?
Could be at ground level, absolutely. Yeah, could put it on your deck. Depends on accessing it. I put them on my deck last year, but a lot of people would put them on the ground. And it's just where can you protect it from animals and put stones down and have the room to do it. And then come spring, you're going to check for germination. And once they're germinating, you would take off that screening so that they're not getting stuck in the screening as they start to grow. And then you kind of grow them on until they're a fairly good size before you transplant them. And then you can transplant those into your garden. So that's a nice way to get seeds and plants. Not super difficult, but it needs planning because you need to do it as winter is starting. Or there are ways to do it inside where you can do a freeze-thaw cycle in your freezer. I have not found that to be very successful personally, but there are lots of guidelines about doing that. And as I said, I would really consult the Ottawa Wildflower Seed Library website because they have great information on all of this, as does a place called Prairie Moon Nursery. They have a wonderful site telling you what kind of treatment seeds need in order to germinate. A really easy one just to get you going is echinacea. That's a super easy one. You can just collect those by cutting off the seed heads, actually, putting it into a paper bag, and then you can spread those seeds in the spring. So that's an easy one for people to get going on. But yeah, giving it a try, it's kind of fun. You know, last year I had varied success. I think everyone would say you never get perfect germination of all the things you put out there. But for something that's very cheap to do, you don't need any special equipment except for some soil. It's kind of worth trying if you wanted to start some seeds yourself. It's very satisfying when they do actually work.
And of course, we at the garden find it a hoot to see the waving tops of plants in a bag.
Yeah, yeah. So it's cool. So hopefully someone can give it a go. And oh, I should say, we also have a seed library. I think there are lots of those starting up around town. They focus on different things. Our seed library is a little bit sad right now because it doesn't contain seeds. It actually contains books, gardening books, really because you don't want them being exposed to extreme heat. So storing it in a seed library that's outdoors is not great when there's extremes of heat. But I think in the spring as well now, I'll put some seeds in there, vegetable seeds or annuals that can be sown at that time of year. Not so much the ones that need the stratification because that's kind of missed the chance on that one. But we'll be putting some seeds in there. And I think sharing seeds is a lovely thing to do as a little gift to people for Christmas. You know, you can collect some seeds and share them with people, especially if you have a favorite seed. It's really lovely.
But a word of warning.
Aha. Don't. Oh, here it comes. The voice of reason.
Don't send your seeds far away from the location you got them in.
Right. We're talking about native seeds that we've collected, and I've been collecting them from gardens where I am growing things and I know what they are and I know where they're from. I'm not collecting them from wild areas, for instance. You need special permission to do that. Yes, I'm collecting it from my own plants that I've sourced and been growing.
And yeah. The plants need to be disease-free because the disease pathogen can be embedded inside the seed.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's wonderful that in Ottawa, we can stratify outdoors.
Yes, it is. The indoors is quite possible. But as I say, personally, I found it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean I shouldn't try again. There are different ways to do it for sure.
And you'll get the native plant that is meant to be here.
Yeah. When I'm, you know, starting plants outside and planted something, you know, if it doesn't make it, I kind of feel like, well, it didn't like it. And so I'll stick with the ones that liked it. That's good. They're happy And if they're not happy, too bad.
I'm also that kind of a gardener. Plants better be durable because I'm not going to baby them.
No, it's tough love at this side.
Yes.
So I think you were going to talk to us about vegetable seed saving.
Yeah, which is a very different situation because the vegetables are highly hybridized. And so when you're seed saving the vegetables, you are not going to actually get the same plant that you grew this summer. Because if you purchase seed, it would have been hybridized.
Now, Marianne, just to be clear, what does hybridization mean?
Where they have controlled the male and female parents' input so that the desired for genomes are expressed.
Yeah, so someone's been growing them specifically to get characteristics that we desire from the plant.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you allow them to open pollinate, then they are going to cross with other plants in the same species, like a big beefsteak tomato with a tiny little cherry tomato.
Yeah, especially if you're growing them in a garden and even just with neighbors around growing similar vegetables. If you save seeds from those plants, you don't know for sure that you're going to get the same thing. It could well have crossed with other species and you get something slightly different, which can also be a little fun.
It can be great fun. But when we're buying seed, say if you buy corn seed, the corn seed that is used for sale is grown in such huge fields and they don't take the seed from the margin of the field. The seed that is then shared with all the farmers is from the interior of the field, so that it is pure, the particular characteristics that people are looking for.
Yes, so the seed producers have very, very strict rules about distance from other similar crops. They have to have isolated crops. And so we're not ever going to be able to have that degree of control over what we grow. It's going to be an element of chance.
It's great, but if you are saving the seed from your favorite tomato, and it's in amongst other tomatoes, you're not going to get the same tomato as your favorite is. Now, but if you are saving tomato seed, pick and save the very first. Actually, that's true of all of your vegetables. Pick and save the very first one that grows to ripeness, because that will encourage all future generations to be early ripening. If you pick the last one that ripened, then you're choosing the genes for late harvest. So in different plants, some are easy, some are hard in the vegetable garden. Easy ones are beans. Let the bean go fully ripe. The bean pod becomes brown and crispy. Pop it open and you've got beans that you can plant for next year. They've already dried out on the vine or the bush. So you can just store them in an envelope in a cool, dark place. Another one that's easy to harvest seed from are pepper plants. You can open up the pepper and let it dry in the sunshine. The seeds will dry out sufficiently. And you can then just shake them out and store them also in a paper bag in a cool, dark place. Ones that are a little more difficult are like tomatoes, because the seed is embedded in this juicy substrate. Or cucumbers, same problem. There is a couple of things you can do. With a tomato, you could in fact just save the whole tomato and put it in the freezer. And then next spring, spread it out into a tray and the seedlings will grow.
That sounds almost too easy, actually.
But you don't get good germination. Another method is take the seeds with the soft jelly-like substance that's around them, put them in a glass jar with water, and let them sit there for 2 or 3 days, and then shake them and sieve them and separate out the jelly-like stuff. There, it ferments a little bit, and it lifts off the jelly from the seeds and separates them. And then you can pour them out onto the paper toweling and pick out the seeds that have separated from the jelly substance. And then store those, after you've dried them out in the sunshine, in the nice, cool, dark place in paper. You can do that for cucumbers, except for cucumbers, you don't need to soak them. You can just open up the cucumber, push out with your thumb and fingers all the mature seeds, and then just dry them on a paper towel.
Fozzie's alerting us to something. I'm not sure what.
There's a fly in the room.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad that we're protected.
One of the things to be very, very aware of is that all of our vegetables are very, very hybridized. You really like the vegetable that you've chosen, but if you allow it to open pollinate, it may open pollinate with a more wild-like version of its own species. So if you had gourds in the same garden as you had zucchini, the zucchini seeds will have genes from the gourd.
This sounds like a sex talk again, Marianne.
It is. So in Canada, we have the squash bee. The squash bee is native, and it has evolved with squash, which are native to North America. All squash are native to North America. So the squash bee can go from a gourd to a zucchini or a pumpkin. The problem is that gourds are not edible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if you did this 1 year, you would get some of the genes from the gourd in your zucchini, and your zucchinis would be a little less perfect. But if you did that repeatedly, then the inedible substances that make a gourd resistant to the squirrels and chipmunks eating them would then also be transferred into the future seeds of your zucchini. And that can be quite bad if you ate too much. But you would know, because then the zucchini becomes very, very bitter.
I think kind of what we're saying in the end is there's a reason why we often buy the seeds from a seed source. And we know what those seeds are, and they're guaranteeing that they're giving us the right seed. But we can try growing our own and knowing that it's going to be potentially not what we're expecting.
Yeah. If you do it casually in your backyard and are not paying attention to what the bees are doing, then the bumblebees could be going to anything.
Yes. So be cautious, but give it a go, I think is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds great. Well, thank you, Marianne, and myself. Thank me too. And that was a talk about seed saving. We do have a website, and I will put some of the links to, for instance, the Ottawa Wildflower Seed Library and Perry Moon Nursery on the website for more information. And thank you for listening. Please follow.
Thank you.